Welcome to the Play, Sleep, Grow podcast. This episode takes you behind the scenes on how to get your toddler to cooperate during and maybe even enjoy bedtime. So freshen up that cup of coffee, switch that load of laundry before you forget, and listen in. You're listening to the Play, Sleep, Grow podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Thompson. I leveraged my skills as a speech-language pathologist to research and discover the gentlest and most effective sleep training methods and strategies available for our three children, successfully helping them learn to sleep through the night and take regular, scheduled naps starting at 3, 4, and 5 months old, respectively, effectively reclaiming confidence, structure, and peace in our home, and creating a better, healthier relationship with my husband and our children. On this show, you'll discover bite-sized, actionable strategies for all things baby sleep and development, and avoid wasting time, money, and tears on strategies that simply don't work. You'll gain a sneak peek into the most reliable, evidence-based strategies available. You'll also get exclusive access and discounts to time-saving, headache-crushing tools and our unique Play Sleep Grow sisterhood to make your sleep training journey and your relationship with your child easier and more grace-filled than you ever dreamed possible. Subscribe now and listen in every Monday. So grab a cup of coffee, snuggle that baby close, and welcome. You belong here. Does trying to figure out your baby's ever-changing sleep schedule make you feel like finding a nice secluded spot and burying your head in the sand? We'll stop the search and step away from the sand. As an exclusive gift to you, I have created a 60-second sleep schedule quiz. All you have to do is complete the 60-second quiz, and a sample sleep schedule specifically for your child will be sent directly to your inbox. And yes, it's completely free. Simply go to www.playsleepgrow.com/sleep-schedule-quiz to claim yours now. And I'll drop a clickable link in the show notes. Welcome back to the Play, Sleep, Grow podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Thompson, wife, mom, licensed speech-language pathologist, and certified pediatric sleep consultant. In today's episode, we will be pulling back the curtain on how to get your child to cooperate with and even enjoy bedtime. You will learn 5 new ways to transform the bedtime routine so that you can cut out the drama and stop dreading bedtime. And maybe even turn it into one of the best parts of your day. I can't even tell you how many parents I've talked to that absolutely dread bedtime. Even some of my best friends have told me that bedtime spikes their anxiety because they know that as soon as they mention that it's time to get ready for bed, the tantruming and the attitudes and pushback rear their ugly heads. So for each of these bedtime drama-crushing secrets, we're going to start by getting into our child's head, figuring out what they're thinking and feeling when they have these outbursts and begin to fight back. And then we're going to talk about strategies to not only respond to the pushback, but even prevent it from happening in the first place. Ready? Let's jump right in. Secret number one is managing expectations. So let's start at the very beginning of the bedtime routine. I want you to think about a time when you were working diligently on something that you were really enjoying and you put a lot of work into. Maybe you were in the middle of making a special dinner for your family, or you were really engrossed in a project for work, or you were in the middle of a really excellent workout routine. And then you were interrupted and pulled away from it. Something or someone barged in and either told you that you had to stop immediately, or something happened and you had to react, effectively cutting off your flow, your focused energy. How did that feel? For me, my knee-jerk reaction is to get really frustrated and angry. It's hard for me to get into the focused flow of work. And when I make a meal, I try my best to have everything hot and ready at the same time and as quickly as possible. When I exercise, I want to keep my muscles warmed up and finish the full exercise so I can move on with my day. Now, I want us to think about the beginning of the bedtime routine. when we tell our kiddos that it's time to clean up and get ready for bed. Now, we don't usually think much of it. We tell our kids it's time for bed, expect that they knew this was coming because it happens at the same time every day, and we love bedtime, so really they should too, right? I mean, my sister's kids love going to bed. Why can't my kids love bedtime? Do you ever feel that way? And you're right, it is frustrating for both parties. So let's restructure so we can remove as much of that frustration as possible. Your kiddo is probably playing at this time, or maybe watching another episode of Bluey, or drawing, or cuddling with daddy. These are some of their very favorite things to do. For kids, these are the things that they are most invested in. And if they could, they would continue to do these things indefinitely, forever. So we're going to help them end this favorite activity as gently as possible, in a way that they will come to expect, which makes the whole process even easier. I want you to do two things. First, 5 minutes before it's time to clean up, you're going to get down close to your child and say, "Okay, Owen, I need you to pause just for a second to look at mom." Wait for him to do so. Pause the show when you say this and wait for calm if necessary, even if it takes a full 5 minutes. Then you say, "Five more minutes and then cleanup time." Or if you have a really young toddler, you might say, "5 minutes, then clean up." If your child can repeat it so you know they understand, great. If not, just be sure that they heard you. Now, they don't understand the concept of time at this age, obviously, but it's helping to manage their expectations so they know that they will need to stop soon. Not right this moment, but soon. Second, I want you to set a visual and auditory timer. Let them see it. When the timer goes off, it's time to clean up, you can say. Or for the littles, you say, "Timer go beep, time clean up." And when the timer goes off, make sure your kiddo can see and hear it going off. That way it's the timer saying it's time to stop and it's not you. Then we calmly and firmly help your child to stop the activity they're doing. Is it going to be smooth sailing from the very start? No, of course not. But if you do this every single night, it will become an expected activity. And if you remain calm and firm every single night, they will learn that this is the new pattern and it will not change no matter what. At our house, we also use the phrase, "You can be mad and angry. That's okay. But we still need to XYZ, clean up or turn off the TV, etc." And remember, your child will feed off of your emotions. So staying calm will help them calm down faster too. Secret number two, clean up with direction. Have you ever been in a situation where you have a massive task ahead of you, like an incredibly messy house after the holidays, or tons of things to put away after a trip, or a huge project at work, and you're paralyzed because you don't even know where to start? Like, you know that things will get better if you just start, but you feel like you can't because, like, how? This is often how our kids can feel when we ask them to clean up. And especially in the early years when they're still learning how to clean up. When we say, "Okay, time to clean up," we think it's an easy task, but they look at all their toys and puzzles and they're like, "But how?" This is where we step in and break it down with explicit direction. Let's put toys in the food bin. And if you know your kiddo is going to give pushback, you can show them how to gamify it. In fact, I just had to use this trick the other night when my 2-year-old was overwhelmed and fighting back. We played the "my turn, toss the toy in, your turn, have your kid toss the toy in" game to get one of our types of toys put away. And she was majorly grumpy. So I think it even turned into "my turn, my turn, my turn, my turn" as fast as I could to pretend like I was taking all the turns, and then pausing to look at her expectantly with a big grin on my face to even get her to participate without a major meltdown. Did I have to help? Yes. Were there several non-food toys in the food toy bin so my perfectionism started to make my eye twitch? Also yes. But it got the job done. And I didn't yell. And my daughter's mood shifted in the positive direction. Secret number 3, the order of things. We talked a bit about setting expectations, and now we're going to talk some more about it. I am 100% obsessed with my planner. When I run out of space and I don't get a new one in time, I'm legitimately lost until I get a new one. Why? Because I like to see how my day is going to play out. I like to know what comes next. And kids are often the same way. They like to know what their time is going to look like. So from a very young age, visual schedules can be extremely helpful. This is actually a strategy I learned in my graduate school days for speech therapy, and it works. What you want to do is have a chart. Even better if your child helps to decorate the chart and you talk about it during the day before you use it for the first time at bedtime. Then have each step of the bedtime routine as a little movable picture on the chart. You can list the pictures from top to bottom or left to right. Just make it a straight line of Velcro or whatever you use to stick the pictures on. This way, your child can see that first we get pajamas out, then we go potty, then we take a bath, then put on pajamas, and so on until the end of the routine. You don't have to visually represent every single little part of the routine, like first we sit on the potty, then we flush the potty, unless that task is something that you're explicitly working on your child doing independently. Because too many pictures can also make it hurt rather than help, because the visual schedule could then become overwhelming. Then laminate those puppies because they're going to get a lot of use. And here's a pro tip. If you don't have a laminating machine, cover both sides of the picture with clear packaging tape. Ta-da! Laminated. And if you think it will be helpful, you can even give your child the option to decide which order to do two of the tasks. Do you want to brush your teeth or brush your hair first tonight? Something like that. Your child doesn't want control over everything, because when kids have too much control, it actually makes them feel unsafe. But giving them a little control over bedtime with specific options can also be a good thing. Secret number 4, guiding the emotional spectrum. Sometimes it can be majorly hard to get our kids to really get into the whole bedtime process. They've had a long day, they were having a grand old time playing, and now we want them to go to sleep, which is totally boring. For them, anyway. We ultimately want the bedtime routine to help them calm down and ready their bodies and their minds for sleep, but sometimes they need a little motivation to kickstart the process. This is where some strategic silliness and energy come into play. Start with some dance music. Our favorite is to tell Google to play Disney music. But as long as it's upbeat and positive and only used for the first 5 minutes or so of the routine, most lively music should be fine. This is not the time to be bashful and embarrassed about your dance moves. I, for one, can't dance to save my life. Because your kids, they couldn't care less. Seriously, be silly and get moving into the first part of the bedtime routine. Make a fool of yourself. They will love it. Then, once they're up and moving and have moved into the second or third step of the bedtime routine, dim the lights if you can, turn off any unnecessary lights, turn off the TV, and switch the music to something calm, soothing, and positive. We like classical music and especially ballet music. Meditation music could be really nice too. What you're doing is you're crafting their environment to guide their emotions and in order to help them move along through their routine and begin to calm down. After you switch from energetic music to calm music, you want to try to refrain from getting the kids all riled up again. However, sometimes when attitudes start to sour, you may have to inject a little silliness even after you've started to calm down in order to prevent full-blown meltdowns. Secret number 5, make it special. This secret doesn't mean that you have to go out and get a bunch of new toys or elements to make the bedtime routine special. The greatest tool for making bedtime special is you. Yes, you. That's what your child wants most. It's special, dedicated time with you. And the bedtime routine is the perfect opportunity for this. So put your phone to the side. It'll still be there later. Turn off the TV. Pop out the earbud, unless you're using it to remain calm yourself. And be present with your child. Talk to them. Give them tickles. Engage with them. Look in their eyes. Smile at them. In a world where we tend to try and do 10 things at once, it can be seriously hard to put everything else aside and just focus on one thing. But it's so incredibly worth it. Trust me. Another good trick for making it special: have certain elements of bedtime that you reserve just for the bedtime routine. If your child is older than 1 year, have a special lovey for their bed that stays in their bed at all times. It helps make getting in bed that much more special because they finally get to snuggle with their favorite stuffy again. Or spray a special lavender room spray that only gets used at night, etc. You get the picture. Bonus secret number 1, cut the stimulation. Cut off sugary snacks and screens an hour before the bedtime routine starts. Sugar, especially refined sugar, snacks close to bedtime tends to interfere with your child's ability to fall asleep and stay asleep. You may think it will be good because it will give them a sugar rush during the bedtime routine and then they'll crash. But it often will come back to bite us because they'll be wired during the bedtime routine instead of calming down. And then they will crash, but sleep may be more restless. And similarly, screen time too close to bedtime can make it harder for our kids to fall asleep and stay asleep. I know, believe me, I get it. Screen time can feel like a saving grace at the end of the day. But do know that the blue light, which is the type of light that's emitted from our screens, it stops melatonin production, meaning our kids will take longer to fall asleep and become overtired. And then the overtiredness also causes more frequent night wakings and even sometimes sleepwalking and night terrors. So if you can be strong and cut off that screen time at least 1 hour before the bedtime routine begins every night, it will make things easier in the long run. Bonus secret number 2, early to bed. Early bedtime sounds too good to be true sometimes. Like, if my child goes to bed early, won't they wake up early? Well, it depends on how early you put them to bed, how much sleep they need overall, and what you consider to be waking early. But most of the time, kids are being put to bed too late. This is because the way that babies and young kids' circadian rhythms, their body clocks, tend to be structured. For some unknown reason, the sleep babies and kids get between the hours of 8 p.m. to 12 a.m. tends to be the deepest and most restorative sleep they get, regardless of when they go to bed. So if we put them to bed at, say, 10 p.m., we're essentially cheating them out of 2 of those essential hours, even if they sleep later the next day, which most kids won't. And if you're a seasoned parent, chances are you've made this mistake before, thinking your child will sleep later if you put them to bed later, only for them to sleep a whopping extra 6 minutes in the morning when you put them to bed 2 hours late. Optimal bedtime for kids 4 months to 3 years old, by and large, tends to be between 7 and 8 p.m., And if they miss their nap, it can be even earlier. So there you have it. Your 5 secrets to getting your toddler to cooperate during bedtime and maybe even enjoy it. Managing expectations, clean up with direction, the order of things, guiding the emotional spectrum, making it special, cut the early stimulation, and early to bed. That's all for today. I can't wait to see you next time. If you found this episode helpful, would you please share it with your favorite mom friend? My mission with this business is to help 1,000 growing families regain peace and security through one-on-one consulting for sleep training as quickly and gently as possible. And if you leave me an honest review on Apple Podcasts, screenshot it and email it to me, I will send you your pick of one of my 3 most popular resources. Ending legal note. Please remember that this is a podcast for personal use. It is not medical advice and should not be considered or used as such. I am not a medical sleep professional. And though I am a pediatric sleep consultant and speech-language pathologist, the information I present on this podcast is general information that I have gathered through my own education, research, and experience, and not specific to you or your child. Before implementing any ideas or suggestions I may provide, please clear it with your or your child's doctor first.